Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
You're listening to an encore edition of Soundcheck. This is Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer, and I'm willing to bet that over the course of their first decade together, the Kiara String Quartet has missed a note or two. Other than that, though, the group hasn't done too much wrong since forming 10 years ago. They're central players on the bustling contemporary music scene in New York, while maintaining residencies at Harvard and the University of Nebraska at Lincoln. They've brought the classics to nightclubs and new music to concert halls. In another example of good decision-making, the ensemble recently teamed up with the much-buzzed-about composer Nico Muhly. Here is the Kiara String Quartet performing some of what resulted. This is the first three parts of the Nico Muhly work, Diacritical Marks, live on Soundcheck.
Thank you.
That is the Kiara String Quartet live in the Soundcheck studio, and that is brand new music from Nico Muley, the New York-based composer, written for the Kiara Quartet. It's called Diacritical Marks, and we've just heard the first three of those marks played live in the studio by violinists Rebecca Fisher and Julie Yoon, violist Jonah Sirota, and cellist Gregory Beaver. Rebecca and Jonah joining me at the microphones. Welcome back to Soundcheck.
Thanks a lot.
Thanks
nice to be
us.
Back.
So how'd you do? Any mistakes?
I was note perfect.
Absolutely. Nothing wrong.
We spent the first half of the show talking about, you know, being wrong and making mistakes and how, you know, making a mistake can often be the portal to really a creative moment. When someone has written a piece for you and there is nothing, you know, there's no established way of performing the work, is there a right or a wrong way to play it? I mean,
well, I think that the great thing is, you know, with music like this, we can actually call up the composer, or in the instance of Nico, you know, meet with him for 2 hours yesterday and just hash out some possibilities. And I love that process. You know, when we're getting to know a piece, whether it's, you know, pre-premiere or post-premiere, as we're playing it a lot, it's just so great to see what's happening at each playthrough is a different kind of experience. And, oh, why don't you do that wild vibrato here? You know, it's a really risk-taking and fun kind of creative process for us and the composer together. And then as we take the piece on the road and that kind of thing, it becomes more free, actually, mm-hmm. I think, as we continue.
Well, I mean, you know, commissioning and championing brand new works, that gives you plenty of opportunity to to have those, what we'll euphemistically call creative moments.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
Now, the piece is called Diacritical Marks. So, Jonah, how many are, I mean, is each movement like a different type of accent or umlaut or something like that?
Yeah, I mean, I think we were thinking that that's kind of what he was going to do. And then he did send us a draft with some names for the movements, and then he kind of backed away from it. You know, I think it was more a concept for the whole piece that he didn't want people thinking too specifically. I think he did want this feeling. He talked a lot about the way that in different languages words come up against each other, like in French, elision, but, you know, he was talking about Arabic and some interesting ways that, you know, you connect one material to the next. So actually we wanted to do a few movements so you could feel those changes as they happen. I think that's more important in this piece than in some. But I don't think he wants people to get too hung up on the title either.
Right.
Like it inspired
right.
him, but, you know. But that's sort of it's that composer's secret language.
So to actually try and match up different accent marks, different diacritical marks with different movements, that would be wrong.
That would be an error.
That would be right.
I wouldn't want to do that.
An intellectual error, right?
But before we leave behind the topic of the first part of the show, I understand you guys were kind of jazzed about, you know,
it was very interesting.
The Catherine Schulz and the idea of being wrong as a way of being right. Just, you know, a couple of comments that came in I want to throw to you guys. Zach from West Palm Beach was disagreeing with the actor who called and said, I live for those mistaken moments, those moments where something goes wrong on stage.
Yeah.
He goes, when I perform, I do not want to make a mistake.
Yeah.
Now, Jonah, you immediately said, no, I was note perfect.
Well, I was a little bit of irony there.
I know you were being facetious, but in a perfect world, would you be note perfect?
You know, we play classical music, and I heard you speaking with Laura St. John too, and you know, her perspective was you have to really strive for perfection so that you can be free to be expressive in the framework that we have in classical music. And I think it's really different depending on what type of music you're playing. You know, we've all done a little bit of work with jazz musicians and you know, I did, you know, some improv work with other genres. And it is different. You know, sometimes you'll be doing a take in a recording or something where you're improvising, and the place where you felt like you had a mistake and spun it into something is the best take. You know, the one that was safe, it doesn't really work. In classical, I think we have to go for attempting to really recreate what the composer wrote as accurately as possible. And then once we're at that point, then we can let go and see where there's room for us to be creative and free. And I mean, a mistake can happen and maybe a great thing can come from that, absolutely, but we don't try for mistakes because that it's built into the way that this music is written, I think.
Although I think we do try for risks. I think the goal is to play with musically taking risks, which is to sort of try to eliminate the fear that we are going to make mistakes. I think that's a real issue for classical musicians.
So being wrong in this case doesn't mean making a mistake. It means being afraid to make a mistake.
Well, I think that can inhibit the ability to play freely and creatively and take risks. So it's just kind of, it's a back and forth.
Okay. One more comment, just building on what the two of you just said. Frank in the East Village is recalling when Carlos Alomar, David Bowie's longtime guitarist, was on Soundcheck a couple of months ago. He said there were guitar parts that he wanted to do over because there were mistakes. Bowie said the mistakes were the best parts and to leave them in.
Right. So. And sometimes it's hard to, you know, when you're in the middle of it, it's hard to be the judge of what you've just done.
Well, now, you guys do take risks simply by commissioning new works, you know, where you have to find your way not only into the score, but then to get to that place where you know this brand new piece so well that it can be your piece as well as the composer's. With the composer Jefferson Friedman, Becca, you guys have a longstanding relationship with him, right?
There's
like a language that you understand.
Yeah, we've worked together for many years, and actually I first met Jefferson when we were students at Columbia University together, and I played some of his earliest pieces. And he's written us a number of string quartets, and we're actually coming out with an album of his second and third quartets in May, and there's going to be a CD release of that on New Amsterdam Records. But we're performing on the Ecstatic Music Festival, the third quartet, and actually going to play a little bit for you today. But it's really great to be able to work with a composer who knows you so well. He actually writes for us individually. I mean, he puts things in the music, you know, sort of refer to us personally, and it's really great. I mean, sometimes it's like, oh, you really wanted to give me that? but it's nice though. It's a really creative relationship.
Will there be a series of notes, and above it, it says, "This reminds me of Jonah's mustache" or something?
not exactly. It's more referencing the closeness of our relationship or an event that was important or something that's completely abstract, but that we might, you know.
All right, well, let's hear the introduction to this third string quartet by Jefferson Friedman. It was written for the Chiara String Quartet.
Thank you.
That is music from composer Jefferson Friedman, the introduction to his String Quartet No. 3, which was written for the group that you just heard performing here in the studio, the members of the Chiara String Quartet. Rebecca Fisher and Julie Yoon playing the violins, Jonah Sirota playing the viola, Gregory Beaver playing the cello. To the members of the Chiara String Quartet, great to see you again. Thanks for being with us.
Thanks for having us, John.
And before we completely leave behind our earlier topic of being wrong, Eric from Brooklyn sent us a comment online. A little off topic, Eric writes, but actually it's pretty much on topic. He quotes Robert Rauschenberg, the great visual artist, who said, "Screwing things up is a virtue." That's going to do it for today's show. Soundcheck's technical director is Irene Trudell. The program produced by Brian Wise and Greta Cohn. Our senior producer is Joel Meyer. I'm John Schaefer. Join us again at this time next time for another Soundcheck. ¶¶